Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. A great crisis awaits the people of God. A crisis awaits the world. The most momentous struggle of all the ages is just before us. The question of enforcing Sunday observance will become one of national interest and importance. We will know what the result of this movement will be. But are we ready for the issue? Have we faithfully discharged the duty which God has committed us of giving the people warning and the danger before them? There are many who have never understood the claims of the Bible Sabbath and the false foundation upon which the Sunday institution rests. Any movement in favor of the religious legislation is really an act of concession to the papacy, which for so many ages have steadily warred against the liberty of conscience. Sunday observance owes its existence as to the so-called Christian institution to the mystery of iniquity. An enforcement will be virtual recognition of the principles which are the very cornerstone of Romanism. When our nation shall be a jaw, the principle of its government as to an act of Sunday law, Protestantism will in this act join hands with popery. It will be nothing less than giving life to the tyranny which has long eagerly watching its opportunity to spring again into active despotism. If popery or its principles shall again be legislated into power, the fires of persecution will be rekindled against those who will not sacrifice conscience and the truth in defiance to popular errors. This evil is on the point of realization. When God has given us light showing the dangers before us, how can we stand clear in its sight if we neglect to put forth every effort in our power to bring it before the people? Can we be content to leave them to meet this momentous issue unwarned? When the laws of earthly rulers are brought into observance to the laws of the supreme rule of the universe, then those who are God's loyal subjects will be true to him.
Let us pray. Our kind Heavenly Father, once again, you most grateful and thankful that once again today we are in the land of the living. As we see the signs being fulfilled all around us, Father, I wonder if we are truly searching our lives, see if there's anything that will hinder us from standing in your presence as holy people. Be with those that are listening today, Father, continue to touch every life. Be with those that have lost their loved ones, those that are hurting in this time of crisis. Father, as we prepare for an upcoming election, we pray for your divine guidance, a peaceful process that will bring to an end another government, Heavenly Father. When all is said done, Father, we hope that you will get the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good afternoon and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministries. If you want to reach us, you could give us a call at 322-6273, or you can write us at P.O. Box N8993, or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com, or visit us at our website at www.tpministries.org. And we want to welcome all of our listening audience this afternoon and say a special welcome to those of you who might be listening to us for the first time. We also at this time like to make note that we have a mini poll going on now at our website at www.tpministries.org. That's www.tpministries.org. And the poll is, do you believe in church and state separation? Do you believe in church and state separation? We will get the final results on our talk show, a live call-in show that will be on April the 30th, our monthly call-in show. I think this month we had two because I think we missed one in March. So the final call-in show for this month, that'll be April the 30th. That's a live two-hour call-in. That's Monday, April 30th at 8 p.m. from 8 to 10 p.m. And our mini poll again, like I was saying, do you believe in church and state separation? Before I let Brother Paul talk about the news items this afternoon, I'd just like to say one thing. We know that this past week that our Prime Minister has prorogued the House of Assembly and we are now in election fever. And we ask all those persons who are praying people and who believe in the power of prayer to pray for the nation during this time. Normally, we in the Bahamas don't have violent events and those kind of things during our election. And we thank God for that. And let us pray that God will again take us through another election period where there is no violence and no problems, so to speak. Now, before we go on, we're going to ask Brother Paul to give us an update on those things that are happening in the newspaper that might be of some spiritual significance. Brother Paul.
Thank you, Mr. Brother Julian. Once again, good afternoon, Bahamas. Once again, coming from the newspaper this week, a sad comment from the Nassau Guardian. Headline reads, man killed over $1. Do you believe that, ladies and gentlemen? Surely we are living in a time when things that the Bible predicts will happen are surely indeed happening. I mean, If there's ever a time you need to seek God's faith, that time surely is now. As we see the evil angels and the devil is doing a work that he knows that this time is short. And then on last week, if you were listening to the program, I told you that one of the things I'd like to see our government take on board, whoever they may be in the upcoming after the election has passed, is that I long to see the day when our country will put a ban on alcoholism in this country. Because a lot of our brothers and sisters have lost their lives, and families are indeed hurting today because their loved ones have taken too much alcohol into their system. And I saw something very interesting coming from Chavez. This is the president, Hugo Chavez. He passed a ban during the so-called Holy Week that no alcohol sales should be done during the so-called Holy Week. Well, today will bring, I think, almost to an end of the so-called Holy Week, and on tomorrow we'll be celebrating Easter Monday. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm still trying to figure out how to be arrived at this is going to be Holy Week, when the Bible says the Sabbath day is a holy day. There used to be a time when it should be a Holy Week. And if we should go back into that time and it'll be a Holy Week, that means for the whole week no one should have been working. We should all have been observing this holy day, or these holy days, I should have said, during this Holy Week. But in Colossians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says, the time has come that we should let no man judge us according to these holy days, because there's only one day that's still holy upon all mankind today, and that's the day that is mentioned in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 to 11, where God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So that's the day. And here again, once again, the book of Revelation has been fulfilled. We are merchants of the earth, are waxed rich through the abomination of these things that are taking place upon the land. Easter, Christmas, Halloween, all these are things that the merchants are getting richer. And then on a side comment, talking about alcohol, you won't believe I came across a paper on Thursday, here again from the Tribune. And the best deal for Easter, what you think that was, ladies and gentlemen, wasn't Jesus Christ. They're advertising different bottle of liquors in this paper. I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, I thought the best deal for the Easter would have been Jesus Christ. But it appears if the best deal, according to this ad in the newspaper, is alcohol. That's destroying our brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, and even our little children. And once again, I like to pray for young men in my neighborhood, because if there's one thing they turn to when they can't get their drugs on time, and that's a bottle of liquor. Let's continue to pray for our young men as we see them day after day being hailed before the courts and being put in early graves. You know, it's just a sad situation.
Thank you very much, Brother Paul. And our topic this afternoon, I think I forgot to say what our topic was at the beginning of the program. And our topic this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, is church and state separation. To be or not to be. Or religious liberty. Do we have them? Should we have them? My first question to the panel today, but to Brother Paul and Brother Renrique, is religious freedom, or the lack thereof, an issue to us today? Is that still an issue in today? Is religious freedom still an issue today?
It is still an issue. Pardon me. It is still an issue today, Brother Julian. One of the things that we need to bear in mind, that even though we in the Western world enjoy lots of freedom, freedom to choose how we worship, freedom to, you know, move from job to job and go about our lives without any or little persecution, there are places in the world where people do not enjoy those freedoms. As a matter of fact, there are places in the world where religion is quite restrictive and persecution is quite obvious and prevalent. But I'd just like to read a short piece of an article that was written back in 2005 regarding the government of Peru. And one of the things that their cabinet ministers did is that they passed a law strengthening and emphasizing the need for freedom of religion in that country. And, you know, there were several religious groups that worked along with the Peruvian government to promote this concept. And one of those religious groups was the Seventh-day Adventist Religious Liberty Society. And just a quick snippet from that article, and it says, the bill's 28 articles include a robust defense of religious freedom as a fundamental human right, and echoes international declarations guaranteeing the right to change one's religion, to practice religion in accordance with the dictates of conscience. And this is speaking about each individual persuaded in their own minds as how they would live and worship. And it goes on to say, and the equality of religious bodies before the law. This last point is particularly significant in that other religious groups would be able to claim the same exemptions from taxes, etc., and other benefits currently enjoyed by the majority religion. And this was hailed pretty much throughout the world as a great thing in the nation of Peru, that their government decided not to enforce or promote one religion over the other, but to level the playing field, that each individual would decide for themselves how they would practice or how they would believe.
What I'd like to add to that, there are a lot of people in the Bahamas and even in the United States of America, all around the world, who would love to have Saturday off so they can attend church. They're convicted that the Sabbath is Saturday, because of their job demand, they prefer to go to work. As a matter of fact, they have not developed that faith that passes all understand, that faith that realizes that God will work things out for you. So they choose right now to continue to work on Saturday, being convinced that Saturday is the Sabbath. And because the company they work for does not see the significance in this, or they don't see the seriousness of this, they decide that, hey, either you come to work or we're going to fire you. So if you want today that stands in this position, and you know that the Sabbath is true, and you really want to follow the Bible rules of 7-day Sabbath being Saturday, then by all means sit down with your company and prayerfully and carefully let them know, share with them the convictions of your heart, and I assure you that the Lord will work this out. Then I never, one day about 3 years ago, I attended a church service, and that pastor said that anyone who does not allow their congregation to be up on Sunday, to come to church on Sunday, is practicing that spirit of Antichrist. But ladies and gentlemen, it's the Antichrist that actually set up Sunday worship. It has nothing to do with the Bible account. So, I mean, it sounds as if the minister needs to do his research again, because the Antichrist is the one, the Antichrist system, I said, is the one that is responsible for setting up the false day of worship. And today, even in the Bahamas, we see that there are a lot of things we can do during the week, like go downtown and shop and stuff like that. There's a restriction here. Even when the food stores open up, they only open up for a limited hour on Sundays, when on Saturday they are wide open. When according to the Bible rule, that day should be a set aside for everyone on planet Earth. Everything should come to a standstill, and only those things that have an emergency should be able to care for on that day, because the God give all of us freedom of choice on the way we should worship, if we want to, if we want to.
When we listen to the talk shows and this topic comes up about church and state separation, it seems very seldom that we get anybody who speak out against it. I mean, one or two people, but the general rule is that most people are for the church and state coming together. But like we mentioned earlier, we'd like for people to visit our mini poll and tell us what they believe or what they think. Do you believe the church and state should be separated? And that is at www.tpministries.org. That is www.tpministries.org. So my question to you gentlemen is there any particular group that sponsors, favor, recommends that church and state be separated?
Absolutely, Brother Julian. As a matter of fact, I mentioned this group earlier, and we are a part of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And, not to overly emphasize it, but the Seventh-day Adventist Religious Liberty Organization is one group today that prominently not only promotes, but looks into legal matters, etc., regarding the separation in church of church and state and religious freedom as a whole for all mankind. But you know, when we look back in history, there was a prominent Baptist pastor by the name of Charles Spurgeon, and in 1868 he wrote something regarding the separation of church and state that summed up pretty much the Baptist position on this issue. And Spurgeon said, "Which shall we wonder at most, the endurance of the faithful or the cruelty of their tormentors? Is it not proven beyond all dispute that there is no limit to the enormities which men will commit when they are once persuaded that they are keepers of man's conscience? To spread religion by any means and to crush heresy by all means is the practical inference from the doctrine that one man can control another man's religion. Given the duty of the state to foster some one form of faith, and by the sure inductions of our nature slowly but certainly persecution will follow." So he's saying here that once men decide that it's their duty or obligation to dictate how a person should worship or what type of religion they should hold, he's saying that eventually persecution will follow. And he goes on to say in closing, to prevent forever the possibility of papists roasting Protestants, Anglican hanging Romish priests, or Puritans flogging Quakers, let every form of state churchism be utterly abolished, and the remembrance of the long cause which it has cast upon the world be blotted out forever. And we must remember that Spurgeon here is alluding to the persecutions that took place during the Dark Ages and the Protestant Reformation, where religious groups were pitted against each other, and there was great persecution in the world because of religious beliefs. And he's saying that, you know, once a group holds fast to the belief that they have the right to force religion on the others, persecution will absolutely follow. And Spurgeon is just one prominent religious figure that had this belief as well.
What I'd like to add to that, I don't know if a lot of people recognize it, but just before Pope John Paul II died, he sent a letter And in the letter, he said, under the letter, under the title on keeping the Lord's Day holy, on point 67 of that document, he was talking about it was time for us to go to our government leaders to enforce Sunday to keep it holy by civil legislation. You know, and ladies and gentlemen, this was going to bring on a little bit of us being restricted from worship and how we want to worship, because if that happens, that'll mean the majority of people are going to be for that. They're going to think, well, there's nothing really wrong with that. Then let's just go for it. But here again, it's going to take away freedom of religion, freedom of choice. And like we said last week, this is one reason why you will never see the St. Vincent's Church downtown picketing against us. Those who want to shop on Sabbath will go ahead and shop on Sabbath. Or you will never see us picketing on other freedom of conscience that people really want to do. I mean, but if he really was to take on the attitude of those reformers back then in the days, not reformers, of those who had the church like a slave master under their dictates and under the beat of their drum, then, you know, by all means, we can go downtown with our lawyers and with the proof to show that stores should indeed be shut on Saturday and be open on Sunday. But because we know our Savior loved to give people freedom of choice, because he don't put a barricade around you to stop you from knowing what you want to do, that's why you will never see the Senate of the States take such an action. And whenever we do talk on religious liberty, we don't just talk on behalf of seven events, but all other people, body of people on the face of the earth, because that's the way God will have it, that he will lead his spirit, he will lead his people the way he wants them to be. And he's indeed leading them day by day, because more than ever before, people are coming to a saving knowledge of the truth of how God will want them to serve and worship him. And today, the account will reflect that the Seventh Adventist Church is indeed the most fastest growing church on the face of the earth. And we thank God for that. It has nothing to do with us. It's simply the Holy Ghost doing his job in this late stage of its history, because Jesus said in his word that the gates of hell should not prevail against his church. And indeed, we can see that being blooming today, like a pretty flower or rose, however you want to put it.
You know, when I think a little bit more on that statement that Spurgeon made, it holds so much truth, because when we go back in history, and if you take a look at just one event in particular, I mean, there are many events that we could call up, but just one event in particular, and that would be the massacring of the Native American Indians. And if any of you would recall, when the Europeans, particularly the Spaniards, when they came to America, they brought with them what they call Christianity. And they tried to get the American Indians to convert to this form of Christianity. And when those individuals wouldn't convert, conversion was forced upon them by the sword. And, you know, initially it may have started off as something good, wanting to bring Christianity to these people that did not know of Christianity. But that which started off good turned into something that is really a dark spot in the history of mankind, where millions upon millions of people were enslaved and massacred. And it was done in the name of Christianity for the most part.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. My next question, we keep talking about religious freedom and religious liberty. Explain to the audience this afternoon what is considered religious liberty or religious freedom.
That's a good question, Brother Julian. Well, if you go back to the encyclopedias and the dictionary, Webster's defines religion as a system of faith or worship, conscientious devotion to a principle of belief in and worship of God or gods, a code of ethics, a philosophy of life. And this is not something this definition isn't speaking about something that can be legislated or passed down by some type of laws or something to that effect, but it's talking about a personal experience, an experience that takes place within oneself because of your conscience and your beliefs. And religious freedom is in a nutshell is your right to hold on to that belief, your right to practice whatever religion it is that you choose, something that may be popular in a group or in a country, or something that's pretty much obscure. It's your right, God-given right, to practice a religion, to hold on to a particular religious belief, and it is also the right not to practice religion, not to hold on to particular religious belief, to abstain from religion. In a nutshell, that's what religious freedom is.
As a matter of fact, this is one reason why a lot of the ministers in America is calling people back to serve in the Lord, because America has done a lot of things to give people religious freedom. They went to the point of even taking God out of the schools. Like, you can't pray in the school setting anymore. And there are even some people in America does not even want the teachers to teach about God. As a matter of fact, on CNN on Wednesday night, they had a documentary on this, Who is a Christian? I think that was the title of the documentary. And in that, there were two people there. One was for believing in God. The next person was not for them believing in God. And the two people got to an argument. They got into an argument where the gentleman had asked a question. He was trying to ask, how long how long was it been in existence? And the lady didn't want to answer, you know, and he was more or less, like, he was all over her because she couldn't really say, you know, how long the earth was in existence. Well, you know, I don't think the Bible gives us a definite word on how long the earth was in existence. I mean, the earth itself, because the Bible says the earth was without form. And here we are today, America right now is on the fast track of breaking all the rules when it comes to morality. I mean, just about everything you could name happens there. And I'm telling you, this is one of the things that is going to cause American religious leaders to really put a clamp on the government to enforce laws upon the people. And you know, just like whatever happened in America, it tumbled right over into the Bahamas and here countries around the world. So you can be assured when America started to fasten their rules on taking away religious liberty, it won't be long before I can see the Bahamas doing likewise.
There's another statement that we hear a lot on the call shows and talking about the Bahamas. Talks about a Christian nation. Explain to us this afternoon, gentlemen, what is a Christian nation or what should be considered a Christian nation? And I got to answer that. Is the Bahamas a Christian nation?
I think there are two ways we could break it down. Number one, you could say that a Christian nation is either a nation where the official religion is Christianity. For example, England or the Bahamas, for example, where the official religion is Christianity, or you can always look at another angle of it, some of the Muslim nations where the official state religion is Islam. And then the flip side of that is not where the government is involved, but where the nation is based on Christian principles, and which not only protects the rights of others, but emphasize the right of others to be free in the way that they worship.
My brother Junior, if this was a Christian nation, surely we wouldn't be advertising liquor stores in our newspapers, and we wouldn't have no movie houses showing filthy movies, and we wouldn't have those such things as beauty contests and rap and reggae and rick and scrape contests. I mean, see, all these things, sometimes I'm amazed that sometimes you see people who say that they are Christians, one time they're singing for Jesus, next time they're singing for the devil, but they're still taking the name Christian. The Bible is quite clear that God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So if you want to have this nation as a Christian nation, then the elements that are here that are not Christians, or should I say the elements that we have here that's not going to be in the new earth, and definitely not going to be in the courts of heaven, then why don't we let's stay away from these things? And the sad reality is there are Christians in these areas doing these things. If they were not Christians, then it'll be okay, because I understand there are more Christians that buy alcohol, there are more Christians that buy numbers than people who are not Christians. As a matter of fact, I'm sure if the new government should put a referendum up for closing down all the number houses and the liquor stores, I'm sure they'll get outvoted. I'm sure that these things will continue. But on the flip side, we want it to be peace. We want it to be tranquility. We want heaven right here now. But then, how can it be heaven if you have elements here that are not a part of heaven, that are not of righteousness? And this is the reason why we have chaos, ladies and gentlemen. It has nothing to do with the government. The government can pass as much laws as we want to. We are the problem. We are the ones that have caused the earth to be turned upside down. We are the ones that are planning right now to do things right now. Right now, there are people under the sound of our voices are planning right now to do things that they know will be wrong. They know it won't glorify the Father. And God in his wisdom and his love says, okay, my son, I'm telling you, don't do it, or my daughter. If that's what you want to do, so be it. And that's what religious liberty, that's what freedom of conscience is all about. God has set it up in the Garden of Eden. And that's how our first parents were able to pick the fruit, that forbidden fruit. And they shared it among themselves. And you see Eve blaming the serpent, Adam blaming the wife, and it did not free them. They still suffered the penalty of death. And here we are today, 6,000 years later, and we're still going through the same things, trying to put the blame on someone else when we are the root cause. We are the problem of why the earth is the way it is.
You know, I'm of the opinion that if we are a Christian nation, that shouldn't be something that we have to advertise by our words, but that others should look on and they should see our fruits and say, you know what, you know, that is truly a Christian nation, without us having to stand up and say for one second that we are, the Bahamas is a Christian nation. You know, they should see it in the way that we conduct our lives, and the fact that we are our brother's keeper, and the fact that immorality is at a minimal or at a decline rather than on an increase.
As we read the newspapers and listen to, especially the U.S. news, we see that there's a great debate going on about, or has been going on for some time, about prayers in school. Then recently we heard about the Ten Commandments, and that brought a little bit of excitement to the Christian community. And we see that some people want to put Ten Commandments. I think there was one gentleman who wanted to put the Ten Commandments in the court.
Judge Moore.
Yes, yes, in Alabama, yes, yes. And he lost his job because of that. Are these things telling us that state, church, is this strengthening the debate that church and state must join?
that the church and the state must get together, these type of things?
I don't know if it's saying it's saying to us that these things must join, but what it is saying is that it is showing that this is just a glimpse of what is indeed will happen. As a matter of fact, if we get our paper right here again, if we get our paper, the Wednesday's Guardian, you'll see the entire strip club lobby continues, where two of our local ministers are trying to get this strip club closed down. But here again, ladies and gentlemen, I think these ministers are wrong. Now, these ladies are not advertising themselves. Now, what these ladies are doing is wrong, or what the club is doing is wrong. But see, when you try to take away people's freedom of choice, you know, like they're doing this in our backyard or one of our local beaches. They're doing this in the privacy of their club there, and God is not pleased with this. But when you're going to try to lobby to try to shed these people, I mean, stop these people from doing what they want to do, God is not pleased. And these things are the things that are going to slowly bring us to a point where men are going to try to enforce laws upon us and make us do that which is right. And God is not pleased with this. And here again, there's another group that is on the march right now trying to see what they can do to organize a group to try to stamp crime out, the crime of murder, I should say. But ladies and gentlemen, you know, there's nothing big. If I decide this afternoon to go and buy a gun and load it up with as much bullets as I possibly can, like a mazooka or whatever, who's going to be able to stop me, ladies and gentlemen? There's no government, no police officer, no one can stop me. It's going to be after the fact that you're Paul Miller from Turning Point. Yeah, Paul, you hear that, man? He got this gun, he starts shooting up everybody. There's no one can stop me, ladies and gentlemen. If God in heaven can't stop me, tell me how the poor government, who is trying to make this, how are they going to do it? That's what religious freedom and religious choices and freedom of choice is all about. So my heart goes to the young ladies that is a part of this club, and also the owner. Let's pray for them, that they too can hear the gospel message. Who knows? They can be the ones to turn the world upside down. My heart goes out to the same people that are daily in our local paper that, you know, where those young ladies and those young men be in every Thursday and every Monday. But here again, my heart goes to them too, because what happens here is they have the choice to put their pictures there, but there's a flip side to that. What's going to happen when they surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ? And 2 days down the road, they find out that they knock on this young man's door to introduce him to Jesus, and here comes their pictures hanging right on the wall in a frame. You know, and see, this is the danger when we allow our freedom of choice to take us down a path that will only lead to destruction.
Yeah, on the issue of prayer in schools, you know, I have no problem if a private school is established and they establish the law saying, okay, we want to operate in XYZ manner. But if it is a public institution, then who is it that decides who the children would be praying to? You know, are they to pray to Mary daily? Are they to pray to Muhammad daily? Are they to pray to one of the Hindu gods daily? Who makes this decision? That choice, that need for prayer, that need for worship is something that needs to be emphasized on an individual basis. That needs to be emphasized in the homes more so than it needs to be forced or emphasized in a public setting.
Let us pray. Most kind Father, we thank you once again, O Lord, for another opportunity to come before your people and present a message as you have given to us. Lord, we hope that as this message goes out, it will bless those hearts. Lord, we know that we are in the election season, so we ask, O Lord, that you would be with all of those persons involved, however. And Lord, we hope that your will be done in all things, we pray. Amen.
Once again, our telephone contact is 322-6273. Until next week, may the peace of God continue to be with you and your family. This is Paul Miller.
One thing I'd like to say as we move closer to the live talk show is that, you know, one of the things that we need to consider as believers is what do we do when we are in the majority? It was fine for us to push and say we need these laws now that we are Christian, but what if we were in a Muslim nation or Hindu nation where we would be in the majority? It was just something to consider as we close. And this is Renner Bowe.
And Julian Miller, may God richly bless you.